Today on Abounding Grace, the amazing benefits of the resurrection.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hey, welcome to the Good Friday edition of Abounding Grace. Of course, this is the day that we remember all that Jesus did for us on the cross. But I'm happy to say that he didn't stay in that grave. He is very much alive today. So we'll spend the bulk of our time today discussing the benefits of the resurrection. Here's Pastor Ed Taylor.
You know, not only the life and death, but also the resurrection of Jesus brings division. It brings about a decision. And some of you listened to earlier what Jesus said. I can't believe it. Jesus would want chaos to happen in my family. He doesn't. He's just stating a fact. Some will believe and some won't, and it will bring great pain into families. Those that reject Christ, part of the consequence of that is great difficulty and hardship and challenge. And when it comes to the resurrection, the life that Jesus was buried and 3 days later rose again from the dead, instead of uniting the world, instead of bringing people together under the banner of King Jesus, the resurrection sealed all of eternity for choices to be made where the percentages are most people reject Jesus. Even sometimes they'll start out well, and then over time, the world and the things of this world and just life, she's like, I don't want anything to do with Jesus, but that is a choice. And you will live with the consequences of that choice. And by the way, that's not God's heart for you. For you to turn your back on him. It's just hard for you to come back. You know, before the crucifixion, Jesus was very popular. But after the resurrection, I mean, his popularity went through the roof. Everybody was talking about Jesus. You couldn't help it. There were people that agreed, don't agree. The buzz on the street was about that man from Galilee. I mean, if the disciples had social media, you know, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, hey, check it out. Jesus, he's right there, right there. I mean, if they had the technology we have today, it would just be around the world in seconds. Indisputable. But in their day, it was indisputable. Witness after witness after witness after witness. And, you know, the difficulty, of course, is that we can't talk to those 500 people. Or literally thousands, like Jesus literally. If they had phones back then, we'd still have pictures and everything. It would be, you know, everything on the internet's permanent. It would be permanently there. We'd be able to look it up and say, there it is, there it is, there he is. But they didn't have that then. Instead, they had eyewitnesses. And 500 at a time is pretty significant. You know, if you got, let's say you had two at a time and you go, ah, you guys, you know, you're not credible. Okay, 20 at a time. Yeah, you know, you can make it up 20. Okay, 100 at a time. Well, you know, you're pressing it. 500 people. I saw him, I touched him, I hugged him, I watched him, I followed him over, over and over again. But the problem is we don't get to talk to them. But I suggest to you today, although we can't talk to the 500 that saw Jesus personally, if we went through this room and we asked people about the power of the resurrection in their lives and the testimony of God's work in their life, you know what you find in this room? Witness, 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 witness of the power and presence of God even to this day. I would be, since I have the microphone first, I would be the chief witness of the power of God and transforming a life. And you go, well, that's not true. That's just you. You just, no, man. No, 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 no. You weren't there. I was there. I lived that life. I have that testimony, and you can argue all you want with me, but I was there. That's an eyewitness testimony. People that see it. And again, there's testimonies all, there's witnesses all throughout this room. You see, the life of Jesus, it draws out. It's important that you realize that it draws out a decision. There's only two decisions. I mean, Jesus said startling things all the time, you know? Jesus said that one time. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a pretty exclusive statement. You know how the world, you know, and maybe you've said this before, maybe you believe this, but it's like, oh, don't worry about it, Pastor. Christianity, Buddhism, everything. All roads lead to God. All roads lead to God. So I'm just going to check, you know, I'm just going to choose one of the roads and we'll all end up there. Well, you may be surprised, but there's part of what you said. I agree with you. I agree with you. Choose whatever road you want. It's going to lead you face to face with God. For sure. Absolutely. One day, you will meet your maker. One day. And you must give account for your life. All roads lead to God. But don't confuse all roads leading to God. Don't confuse that with all roads lead to life. That's a whole different topic. All roads do not lead to life. Jesus said there's only one way to the Father. Just one way. It's not two, it's not three, it's not five. It's only him. It's not through a particular church or through a particular denomination or some pastor's word or whatever has been substituted for a personal, vibrant, surrendered, sacrificial life that has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit following Jesus. That's the only way to life. There is no other alternative. Jesus said something that you either believe him or you think he's delusional. You think, well, you know, that's just what you believe there, Pastor. No, man. Do we need to call another witness? It's the truth. And what's important in a culture like ours today, in a very challenging generation, is to remember this. The truth is the truth, no matter what you think about it. There isn't your truth, and you live your own truth, and you do your own thing. That is popular, and it's comfortable. It's just going to lead you to disaster. Nobody drives that way. Nobody, like if you look at everything in life, you're just like, well, I'm going to do my own truth, and I think I can drive on this side of the yellow lines. You're going to kill somebody. Or yourself. Or both. Why? Because there's a truth when it comes to driving. There's a truth when it comes to relationships. There's a truth that's not an open for interpretation. And Jesus says the same thing. He calls you and invites you to follow him personally. The bottom line is that no one in the first century could have avoided or sidestepped making a decision about Jesus. And you know, not much has changed today. Easter is always a neat time for pastors, you know, because if you ask any pastor around town, they'll tell you it's one of their most favorite times of the year. You know why? Because churches are filled during Easter. I mean, even here, we had to add all kinds of services to be ready for the capacity of all of you that are here, that maybe you haven't been here for a while or you're visiting from out of town, and we're just like, yes, yes, we will make room for you. We're so excited. Easter, when those that study such things will tell you that Easter is typically the most well-attended day of churches around the country. Do you know what the least attended day is? The week after Easter. Because I think God's just like, okay, Pastor, pop your head and get back to reality that you're just serving one person at a time that's in front of you. Because it's not about attendance. It's about life. It's about ministering to people one at a time. Pastors need to learn that. God always has his ways to teach us. Pastors are excited because they're preaching the gospel to more people. They're ministering to more people. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful because lives are changed. Lives are changed. And men and women are brought to decision just like you are today. In a few moments, I'll give you the invitation to respond to that. But before we get there, I want you to consider a few things about the resurrection that will encourage you and really stir you up. For those of you that are born again, these are yours already. You don't need to work for them. You don't need to earn them. You don't need to buy them. They're not in some Bible study series or in a book. These are yours by default as a son or a daughter. You have inherited these. You received them as a gift. However, if you are apart from Christ today, these are not yours yet. So it's almost like you're coming in from the outside, kind of looking in, which by the way, last night after one of the services, I was talking to a gentleman and he was telling me about, man, Pastor, you described my life, man. I was like looking out. I've been looking from the outside. I've been outside kind of looking in on everything and I just need Jesus in my life. And that could be you today. So the things that I'm about to share with you in relationship to the benefits of the resurrection belong to every true believer. Number one, listen. The resurrection assures me that I'm accepted by God. That's a pretty powerful gift, that I can know that I'm accepted by God. The Bible says this: He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. I want you to tie this together, and if we had all day, I'd develop it for you. But I want you to tie this together, okay? This is so important, especially the way we're living right now. Acceptance with God leads to understanding your true identity. Your true identity. Isn't that the big wrestling and trouble today? There are so many people wrestling with their identity, wondering who they are, trying to answer that question. The popular wrestling with identity today is sexual identity. Wondering who I am and how am I to present myself and how did I, and it's so confusing. And that's the case, isn't it? Those of you struggling with your sexual identity today, that's the case. Nobody knows but you how confused you are and how hard it is. Because you know, God has already settled your identity for you. He created you in his image. You don't need to worry about everybody's definition of who you are or who you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to present yourself, because God has done that for you. But you know, when you have God out of your life, then you become very confused of who you are and who you're supposed to be. And then all these loud voices, it seems like the people that are screaming and yelling the loudest get your attention. And then you become part of a little group that seems to be so popular, but they're not as big as you think. And they're just a small little group. And you go, oh, I feel like I belong here, but only for a time. You see, the way the world accepts is you're accepted until you're not. Anybody experience that? You're accepted till you're not. Not so with God. The resurrection assures me that I'm accepted by God. That he takes me as I am. And he begins to work in my life on the inside. Number two, the resurrection assures me that Jesus is for me and not against me. That's a pretty powerful truth to think about it. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, what can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God who gave us Christ also give us everything else? This is another place of confusion, because those that might take a position of, you know, I'm a moral and upright person, you wonder why there's so much friction, why there's so much unsettling about your life, because you're really trying to live a good life. But you failed to ask the most important question, and that is this: how good is good? How good is good? You go, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, if you are created in the image of God, then how good do you need to be? I mean, how is it? Is it on a scale of 1 to 10, can you just be a 5? Is that fine? Is it okay to be a 7? Do you need to be a 10? And if you have to be a 10, do you need to be a 10 every day? Because you know as well as I do, you are not a 10 every day. I mean, even this morning, you were kind of crabby when you woke up. Like, it's the way life is. So we know we can't hit 10, but I'll tell you what God says is that what I require of you is a 10. God says, I require perfection. And to which we say, but I can't give that. To which God says, well, I will give my son on your behalf. Perfect for imperfect. The great exchange. God's not against me. He's not working against me. I don't have to be mad at him. I don't have to fight him anymore. I can trust him with my life. Even the worst days of my life. Because he's not at war with me anymore. He's my friend, Jesus said, which is unbelievable. Number three, the resurrection assures me that my sins are forgiven, which is our biggest problem. That's our biggest problem. Even if walking in, whatever we're facing today, we might think, oh, no, Ed, this is my biggest problem. No, it's not. Your biggest problem is, what have you done with sin? What have I done with my sin? You know, I know it's hard to hear that word. I've used it a few times, but you need to hear it. Maybe you haven't really addressed the issue of sin so much in your life, But I do know this, if I ask the question, how many of you, well, let me ask it this way. You can just say out loud, if you can say yes to this, if you do, someone did first service, but we'll get all over you if you answer yes, but that's fine if you want to. All right, you ready? Is there anyone in the house that is perfect? Okay, well, that's good. That's good, because we had a brother over here. Yes, and I'm like, whoa, we need to talk to you after service, bro. How about this question? You can say yes if it's for you. Is there anyone in the house that has made mistakes?
Yes.
Oh, really? Is that true? Made mistakes. You know how easy it is for us to admit that? I mean, it's pretty normal. Like, yeah, I make mistakes all the time. Stumble and fall, I say the wrong things and such, and you agree so quickly about making mistakes, but here's the reality. If you took that word mistake, as we're talking about it now, and you apply it to God, God would call that a sin. And it's much deeper than some little mistake, you know, taking somebody's lane or thinking some random thought. Like, this is, sin would be defined as an offense to a righteous, perfect God. And it's unforgivable apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way forgiveness comes, is through the blood of Christ. You won't be able to take your life and erase the mistake. It's already been done. You can't change the past. So because you can't change the past, God says, then what will you do with your future? And on the cross where Jesus died, he died for all the wrong things I've ever done, all the wrong places I've ever gone, all the wrong thoughts I've ever had, all the wrong words I've ever said. Jesus became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness for unrighteousness. The great substitute. Fourthly, the resurrection assures me that I have all the power I need to live the Christian life. That's very important, because contrary to public opinion, the Christian life is not easy. In many ways, it's more difficult to live a life for God in a world that's increasingly hating God. Like, in a world that hates God, it makes living for Christ a much harder, much more challenging. Not only do you live in this world, but you also live in your body. And your body craves sin, whether you like it or not. I mean, so it's so bad at times. It's so bad that Paul would write in the Bible, he'd say, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do, I don't want to do. And he's like, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank Christ Jesus. He's the deliverer. But we live in this body, so like, we're tempted all the time. It's not easy. But you know, God has given you the power to live a life that pleases him. What he requires, he empowers. I think of in the world of addiction, you know, because addiction can really, really, just take someone in and envelop them in darkness. Because especially when you're wanting to come out of it and you finally come to the realization, I can't live this way anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. And here's what happens. You're like, I don't want to do it, but I do it. I'm doing it, but I really don't want to do it. I get a few days sober and then I go right back. I avoid that on the internet, but I come right back. And it's just so overwhelming. The world, the system understands that. There's no power in this world. There's none. So what do they do with when it comes to alcohol and substance abuse and addictions? What do? You come and say, I've been sober for a year. And what do they say? Well, you know what? You're in recovery. You're in recovery. Like, you're never going to end. It's never going to end. But I'm telling you right now, if you're born again in Jesus Christ, the moment you are born again, you are recovered in that moment. You are set free. You don't have to live fearful of sin. You don't have to live, well, you know, maybe one day I'll stumble and one. No, you're delivered. You want to live that way? Go for it. Live the delivered life. It's not a lifestyle of forever you're going to have to look over your shoulder because sin is chasing you down. You're free in Christ. And the resurrection reminds me that even if temptation comes and even if bad days return, I have the power to live in a way that pleases God. Every born-again believer has the same thing. Finally, the resurrection assures me, this is so good. This is going to be so encouraging to many of you. The resurrection assures me that after I die, I'll live forever in heaven. I have eternal life waiting for me. But not only that, If that wasn't enough, check. If that wasn't enough, for some of you, it's very special. And, you know, it's like, how can you be more special than Jesus? Well, God gives you just a little bit part of your heart that says, not only will you live forever in heaven with Jesus, but you'll also be reunited with those that you love that died before you in Christ. So there's going to be a heavenly reunion. It's just such a, it's such a beautiful gift from God for every man, woman, and child that have decided to receive the forgiveness of their sins. This is no small thing, the resurrection. And it's no small thing, Easter. It grabs all of our attention for the moment, and Jesus invites us to follow him. For some of you, it's going to be for the very first time, but others of you, God is saying, what are you doing turning your back on me? Why are you doing that? What are you getting out of it? How's it, or even in some ways, how's it working for you? What has replaced the intimacy and the closeness and the care and concern of God? What have you exchanged God's great love for you? The temporary pleasures of this world, the uncertainties and difficulties, and again, what will you do? You're taking, you know, sometimes at this moment in the study, you know, whether we're having a regular service or whatever, like, there'll be people that it's like, you know, in their hearts, they won't say it out loud, but in their hearts, they'll say, oh, I'll just take my chances. I'll take my chances, Pastor. Finish up. But you're like, you know, what's I'll just take my chances, you know? No. It reminded me, it came to my mind last night, you know, I'm a dad. I raised my three kids into adulthood, and it'd be like a dad saying, you know what, son, you know what, daughter, don't do this. I've already gone down that road. I already know how bad it is. I already know what's going to, like, and for you, it could be even worse, but don't do this. And your kid coming back, well, you know what, dad, I'll take my chances. What's a good dad going to say? No, don't take your chances, man. Trust me. Isn't that what you're going to lean on? Trust me. I've been there before you. I've already gone ahead. I've already lived that life. Trust me. You're kind of banking on the reality of just trust what I already know. So how much more would God come to you today and say, trust me. Trust me. God, my creator, the one who died for me. Like he's like, I've already gone that. I already know how that ends. Trust me. And so to those of you that might be thinking, I don't know, maybe there's a new phrase these days, but you're like, I'll take my chances. I'm telling you, please, that is not the decision that will lead you to life. You know, the fragility of life, you know, nobody knows. Do you know the Bible describes life, even if we live a full lifetime, like vapor? It just like, here today, gone tomorrow. And life is so fragile that none of us know. None of us know. We want to live today while we're alive now for the things of God. You know, those of you that live, that work in the medical community, those of you that work for police and fire, you know, this is your life, stepping in to save lives, to protect life. So please don't take chances. Come to know Jesus today. Surrender your life and remember the resurrection, the power of God to change your life.
Well, there you have the amazing benefits of the resurrection. And we barely scratched the surface. What you listened into today on Abounding Grace is part of an Easter message from Ed Taylor called Amazing Benefits of the Resurrection. Now, if you joined us late or would just like to give this a second listen, go online to aboundinggraceradio.com. Have you had the chance to download our app? This is another great way to take in the teaching of God's Word and download it for free by searching for Ed Taylor. We're also on oneplace.com. We enjoy hearing from our listeners. Even just a quick hello telling us the station you listen to means a lot. Maybe you didn't realize it, but Pastor Ed reads them all. Let us know how we can pray for you, too. You can email us through the website at aboundinggraceradio.com. And please remember that Abounding Grace is made possible through the support of our listeners. We look to the Lord for provision. When you give a donation of $25 or more to Abounding Grace, you're invited to request a copy of Warren Wiersbe's book on being a servant of God. This is a must-read for anyone who desires to serve the Lord and be involved in ministry. In it, he invites ministry leaders to listen in on 30 short armchair chats. That will no doubt encourage and inspire them for service. You might even want to go through this with your small group at church. To order a copy today, call 877-30-GRACE, 877-30-GRACE. Ordering resources like this is also super easy through our online store. Check it out at calvaryco.store. We hope you have a very blessed Resurrection Day celebration, and we'll see you back here on Monday when Pastor Ed Taylor will pick up where we left off in Genesis. That's right here on Abounding Grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.